This is an audio paper from the University of Warwick based on a publication entitled Trajectories of Entering the Metabolic Syndrome, the Framingham Heart Study, published in the journal Circulation in November 2009. The abstract. Background. We evaluated the progression of the metabolic syndrome and its components, the trajectories followed by individuals entering metabolic syndrome, and the manner in which different trajectories predict cardiovascular disease and mortality. Methods and results. Using data from 3,078 participants from the Framingham Osprey study, who attended examinations 4, conducted in 1987, 5, conducted in 1991, and 6, from 1995, we evaluated the progression of metabolic syndrome and its components. Metabolic syndrome was defined according to the Adult Treatment Panel 3 criteria. Using logistic regression, we evaluated the predictive ability of the presence of each component of the metabolic syndrome on the subsequent development of metabolic syndrome. Additionally, we examined the probability of developing cardiovascular disease or mortality until 2007 by having a specific combination of three factors that guarantee a diagnosis of metabolic syndrome. We found that the prevalence of metabolic syndrome almost doubled in 10 years of follow-up. Hyperglycemia and central obesity experienced the highest increase. High blood pressure was most frequently present when a diagnosis of metabolic syndrome occurred, being present in 77.3% of the cases. And the presence of central obesity conferred the highest risk of developing future metabolic syndrome, having an odds ratio of 4.75 and a 95% confidence interval between 3.78 to 5.98. Participants who entered the metabolic syndrome having a combination of central obesity, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia had a 2.36-fold increase of incident cardiovascular disease events and a 3-fold increase risk of mortality, with a confidence interval between 1.93 to 4.94. Conclusions. Particular trajectories and combinations of factors on entering the metabolic syndrome confer higher risks of incident cardiovascular disease and mortality in the general population and among those with metabolic syndrome. Intense efforts are required to identify populations with these particular combinations and to provide them with adequate treatment at early stages of disease. Main task. Introduction. Improvements in healthcare and living conditions, accompanied by westernization of the global lifestyle, have given rise to pathological conditions such as the metabolic syndrome. First labeled by Raven in 1998 as Syndrome X, different criteria exist to define the metabolic syndrome. In general, this syndrome can be defined as the concomitant occurrence of multiple metabolic irregularities that may include hypertension, dyslipidemia, abdominal obesity, insulin resistance, and macroalbuminuria, depending on the selected definition. Independently of the criteria chosen, the metabolic syndrome has been widely associated with an increased risk of diabetes mellitus, cardiovascular disease, and cholesterol gallstones, among other pathological conditions, in several studies. For example, individuals with the metabolic syndrome experience a 2-fold and 5-fold increase in the risk of developing cardiovascular disease and diabetes mellitus, respectively. Even though it is fundamental to accurately manage metabolic syndrome to control current global epidemics of cardiovascular disease and diabetes mellitus, the pathogenesis of the metabolic syndrome and the manner in which its components interact and evolve remain uncertain. Moreover, the trajectory is followed by individuals entering the metabolic syndrome definition, and the manner in which these trajectories modify the lifetime experience of cardiovascular disease and mortality are poorly understood and have hardly been explored. These factors may hamper the adequacy of management among individuals with metabolic syndrome. Further understanding of the development and progression of the metabolic syndrome and its components is required. We sought to evaluate in adult populations from the Framingham-Osprin study the distribution and progression of the metabolic syndrome and its components, the trajectories followed by those entering the metabolic syndrome, and the potential effect of individual trajectories on subsequent cardiovascular disease and mortality. Additionally, we evaluated where these trajectories differ by smoking status. Methods. Data sources. The original Framingham Heart Study cohort started between 1948 and 1951 with 5,209 residents of Framingham, Massachusetts. Of these, 45% were men. The Framingham-Osprin study cohort is composed of the offspring and their spouses of the original Framingham Heart Study participants and was examined beginning in 1971 to 1975 and approximately every 4 to 8 years since then. This cohort consists of 5,124 participants, of which 48% are men, that are aged 5 to 50 years at baseline. A study sample. We selected data from participants attending each of examinations from the Framingham-Osprin study, being examination number 4 conducted between 1987 and 1991, examination number 5 conducted between 1991 and 1995, and examination 6 between 1995 and 1998, and who were evaluated for the presence, absence of the 5 components of the metabolic syndrome at each examination as defined below. Of 4,019 participants who attended examination 4, 730 people were excluded because they did not attend all examinations 4, 5, and 6. 211 were further excluded because they had missing data on at least one of the components of the metabolic syndrome. In total, we analyzed data from 3,078 participants of the Framingham-Osprin study. Assessment of metabolic syndrome. Presence of metabolic syndrome was evaluated at examinations 4 through 6. To define metabolic syndrome, we use the Adult Treatment Panel 3 criteria, which classifies individuals as having metabolic syndrome if they had at least 3 of the following 5 components. 1. Men with waist circumference above 40 inches or 102 centimeters. Or women with waist circumference above 35 inches or 88 centimeters. Second component. Men with high density lipoprotein, HDL, cholesterol, below 40 milligrams per deciliter, or women with HDL cholesterol below 50 milligrams per deciliter. Third component, triglycerides of equal or above 150 milligrams per deciliter. Fourth component, high blood pressure, being defined as systolic blood pressure above or equal to 130 millimeters of mercury, or diastolic blood pressure above or equal to 85 millimeters of mercury, or on being in antihypertensive treatment. Finally, fifth component would be fasting glucose above or equal to 100 milligrams per deciliter. Assessment of cardiovascular disease and diabetes mellitus. Cardiovascular disease was defined as the presence of one or more definite manifestations of coronary heart disease, being angina pectoris, coronary insufficiency, myocardial infarction, and sudden or not sudden death as consequence of coronary disease. Also congestive heart failure, a stroke, transient ischemic attack, and intermittent claudication. A panel of three physicians evaluated all events. The agreement of all three was required. Diabetes mellitus was defined by having a random glycemia above or equal to 200 milligrams per deciliter, or being treated with insulin and/or oral antidiabetic agents. More details on the evaluation of outcomes are available in other publications. Progression of the metabolic syndrome components. To determine the progression of metabolic syndrome and its components, we measure the sex pool and sex-specific prevalence of metabolic syndrome and of each individual component at each of the examinations 4, 5, and 6. We then group the individual components into pairs, being there 10 possible pairs. This means the combination of the 5 different components. For each pair, we identify the subgroup of participants who at some point experience both components of the pair for at least one of the examinations 4, 5, or 6 from the Framingham-Osprin study. Then, of these participants, we determine the frequency with which each component first presented itself at an examination before the other component and the frequency at which the two components first presented together, that means being at the same examination. Components and triads, frequency and prediction of metabolic syndrome. In participants who did not have metabolic syndrome at examination 4, but who experienced metabolic syndrome at examination 5 or examination 6, this was in total 776, we evaluated the sex pool and sex-specific incidence of each component of the metabolic syndrome and of each triad of factors that permitted the diagnosis of metabolic syndrome. Triads were defined as the simultaneous combination of any three different components of the metabolic syndrome that will guarantee a diagnosis of metabolic syndrome. A participant could have experienced more than one triad. For example, if a participant experienced a metabolic syndrome diagnosis because of high blood pressure, large waist circumference, and high levels of triglycerides, and low HDL, that means four components, then the participant will be considered as experiencing the following three triads. The first triad will be a combination of high blood pressure, large waist circumference, and high triglycerides. The second triad will be a combination of high blood pressure, large waist circumference, and low HDL. And the third triad will be large waist circumference, high triglycerides, and low HDL. So a triad was a combination of three different components. If an individual will experience at the same time more than three components, will have more than one triad. We assess the age and sex-adjusted relation between examination 4, prevalence of metabolic syndrome components, with the future, being examination 5 and 6, occurrence of metabolic syndrome, being yes or no, you develop or not metabolic syndrome. This assessment was performed with the use of sex pool stepwise logistic regression, in which age and sex were forced into the model as independent variables and with examination 4, presence, yes or no of metabolic syndrome and each of the 5 components as candidates, for entry into and remaining in the logistic model as independent variables at a 0.05 level of significance. Incident metabolic syndrome developed by at least examination 5 and or 6 was outcome. This was performed twice, once for all participants in the study and once for all participants without metabolic syndrome at examination 4, being in total 2,356 participants. Assessments of the significance of the component by of the interaction component by sex, age, and smoking were performed in separate logistic models, one model per component. Factor-specific age-adjusted logistic regression results, except for age, were inspected for components for which the factor by component interaction was significant at the 0.05 level. Triage and prediction of cardiovascular disease and mortality. We evaluated whether the incidence of the five most frequent triads, a triad being the combination of three different factors that guarantee a diagnosis of metabolic syndrome. So we evaluated whether these five most frequent triads has an impact on of incident cardiovascular disease and mortality until 2007. That means approximately 10 years of follow-up extra. This assessment was performed with the use of a stepwise six-pool cross-proportional hazard regression after assumption of proportionality was tested and met, in which age and sex were forced into the model as independent variables and with the incidence, yes or no, of each of the components on each of the five triads as candidates for entry into and remaining in the cost model as independent variables at the 0.05 level of significance. This was performed twice, once for all participants in the study, without metabolic syndrome at examination 4, regardless of subsequent incidence of metabolic syndrome, and once for all participants without metabolic syndrome at examination 4, who experienced metabolic syndrome by examination 6. Analysis on cardiovascular disease incidence further excluded participants with prevalent cardiovascular disease at examination 4. Participants not experiencing the outcome by 2007 are censored at the end of 2007 or last known follow-up date, whichever occurs earlier. Assessments of the significance of the triad by sex interaction were performed in separate cost regression analysis, one model per triad. Sex-specific cost regression results were inspected for triads for which the sex by component interaction was significant at the 0.05 level. Sensitivity analysis. In addition to the different components of the metabolic syndrome, smoking is perhaps the most important factor that, if present, provides the highest risk on incident cardiovascular disease. Hence, we repeated the analysis of frequency of components and triads and of prediction of metabolic syndrome by stratifying for smoking status, non-smokers versus current and former smokers. All of our analyses were conducted with the use of SAS version 9.1 and adjusted or stratified for age and or sex. Potential factor by sex interactions were evaluated. A two-sided alpha of 0.05 was used to claim a statistical significance. Results. Baseline characteristics. The mean age of the population was 51.6 years at baseline during examination 4. There were more women, 51.6%. 6.4% and 4.2% had previous diagnosis of cardiovascular disease and diabetes mellitus respectively. Mean levels of the components of the metabolic syndrome at baseline were as follows. For waist circumference, 35.1 inches. Systolic blood pressure, 126.2 millimeters of mercury. Diastolic blood pressure, 79.1 millimeters of mercury. HDL cholesterol, 49.9 milligrams per deciliter. Triglycerides, 120.4 milligrams per deciliter. And fasting glucose, 94.6 milligrams per deciliter. Participants with metabolic syndrome at examination 4, this was 722 participants, were older than those without it. The difference in years was 54.9 age, mean age for those with metabolic syndrome at examination 4 versus 50.6 years for those without. Also, participants with metabolic syndrome at examination 4 had a higher prevalence of diabetes mellitus, 13.3% versus 1.4%, and cardiovascular disease, 11.9% versus 4.8%, but were similar with respect to current former smoking status, being 43% among those with metabolic syndrome at examination 4 and 42% for those without it. Prevalence and progression of metabolic syndrome. At examination for 722, being 23.5% of participants, had a diagnosis of metabolic syndrome. Prevalence of the five components of metabolic syndrome at examination 4 for all participants was as follows. 25.7% had large waist circumference. 38% had low HDL. 23% were hypertriglyceridemic. 48% were hypertensive, and almost 19% had hyperglycemia. The prevalence of metabolic syndrome increased from examination 4 to 5 by 10.6%, and from examination 4 to 6 by 17.2%, almost doubling in a period of follow-up no longer than 10 years. Hyperglycemia experienced the highest increase from examination 4 to examination 6, going from 18.9% prevalence to 42.8% prevalence, more than doubling, followed by central obesity that went from 25.7% to a prevalence of 50.7%, all of this in a period of 10 years. High blood pressure and hypertriglyceridemia each experienced an approximate 8% increase in prevalence from examination 4 to examination 6, whereas low levels of HDL decreased slightly from a prevalence of 38% at examination 4 to a prevalence of 36% at examination 6. At examination 4, women and men had similar prevalence of large waist circumference and low HDL. Women had lower levels of hypertriglyceridemia, 16.8% compared to 31% in men. Lower levels of high blood pressure, being 41% compared to 56% in men. And lower levels of hyperglycemia, being 13% in women and 24% in men. Nevertheless, by examination 6, women seem to overtake men and even surpass them in the case of prevalence of large waist circumference. Although a 10% and 20% difference in prevalence of high blood pressure and hyperglycemia remain between men and women at examination 6, women experience a larger increase in prevalence of the different components of the metabolic syndrome from examination 4 to examination 6 than did men. This was the case for all components except for the prevalence of low HDL cholesterol, which decreased among women but remained stable among men. Sequential progression of components of metabolic syndrome. When low levels of HDL cholesterol were present at any examination, having low levels of HDL cholesterol generally preceded the appearance of any other component. For example, of the 963 participants who ended up experiencing the HDL and hyperglycemia component simultaneously during at least one of examinations 4 to 6, 51% of the participants had low levels of HDL before presenting with hyperglycemia, versus 11% who presented with hyperglycemia first, and 37.5% who presented with both simultaneously at the examination. The next dominant component in terms of sequential appearance was high blood pressure, and the least dominant was hyperglycemia. This was very similar to the findings we obtained when we stratified the population by sex, except for high blood pressure, which became the factor that preceded all the others among women. Frequency of factors and triads on entering the metabolic syndrome. Of the participants without metabolic syndrome at examination 4, but with examination 546 prevalent metabolic syndrome, high blood pressure was the component that appeared most frequently with metabolic syndrome diagnosis. And it was followed by waist circumference, hypertriglyceridemia, hyperglycemia, and low HDL. The order of levels of incident factors changed when the population was stratified by sex. For example, in women, central obesity had the highest incidence level, followed by high blood pressure, hypertriglyceridemia, low HDL, and hyperglycemia. The sequential order in men was as follows: high blood pressure first, then hyperglycemia, then hypertriglyceridemia, followed by low HDL, and finally large waist circumference. For participants with metabolic syndrome at examination 4, the five triads being the combination of any three components that guarantees diagnosis with metabolic syndrome by examination 5 or 6. So the five triads with the largest incidence were as follows, in order of descending frequency. First, a combination of waist circumference, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia. Second, a combination of HDL, high blood pressure, and hypertriglyceridemia. Third, was a combination of waist circumference, hypertension, and hypertriglyceridemia. Four, was a combination of high blood pressure, hyperglycemia, and hypertriglyceridemia. And the fifth combination was HDL, waist circumference, and high blood pressure. When we stratify by sex, the triad of large waist circumference, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia still occur most frequently. This was the most frequent triad. Value of examination for metabolic syndrome components prevalence in predicting metabolic syndrome. To evaluate the predictive ability of the presence of individual components at examination 4 on occurrence of metabolic syndrome by examinations 5 or 6, we conducted a stepwise logistic regression analysis adjusting for age and sex with the presence, yes or no, of the five individual components at examination 4 as candidates for entry into the model at the 0.05 significance level. All participants were included in this analysis. All metabolic syndrome components significantly predicted metabolic syndrome by examination 5 or 6 in the presence of the other components, with the presence of large waist circumference conferring the highest effect with an odds ratio of 4.76 and a 95% confidence interval between 3.79 to 5.98. Similar results were obtained for those free from metabolic syndrome at examination 4, data not shown. Predictive value of entering combinations, called triads, on incident cardiovascular disease and mortality. The prevalence of the five most frequent triads for entering the metabolic syndrome at examinations 5 or 6 was assessed for the ability to predict the incidence of each of cardiovascular disease and all-cause mortality after baseline, defined as the examination of incident metabolic syndrome or examination 4 if there was no incident metabolic syndrome, until 2007, with an average follow-up period of 14 years. In total, there were 244 cardiovascular disease events, which is equivalent to a rate of 11% or approximately 0.007 cardiovascular disease events per person year of follow-up. The mortality rate for the overall population was 8.3%, with a rate of 0.005 deaths per person year of follow-up. Age and sex-adjusted stepwise cost proportional hazard regression, with the prevalence of each of the five triads as candidates for entry at the 0.05 level of significance, was used for this analysis. Participants with prevalent metabolic syndrome were excluded from the analysis. Also, for the analysis on incident cardiovascular disease, participants with prevalent cardiovascular disease at examination 4 were excluded. We found that only two of the top five triads examined had a significant impact on incident cardiovascular disease, with the triad of large waist circumference, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia conferring the highest risk of developing cardiovascular disease, with a hazard ratio of 2.36. The other significant triad was that of low levels of HDL, high blood pressure, and hypertriglyceridemia. In addition, only these triads had a significant effect on predicting mortality. A combination of large waist circumference, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia bestow a more than threefold increased risk of future mortality, whereas the combination of HDL, high blood pressure, and hypertriglyceridemia represented an almost threefold increased risk of mortality. None of the other top five triads had a significant effect on mortality in the presence of the others. After the analysis were repeated for only individuals with metabolic syndrome by examination 5 or 6, only the triad combining waist circumference, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia had a significant effect on future cardiovascular disease, with a hazard ratio of 1.64. Sensitivity analysis. We repeated the analysis of the frequency of factors and triads on entering the metabolic syndrome by smoking status. Among non-smokers, high blood pressure remained the most present factor when classified as having metabolic syndrome, followed by large waist circumference. In contrast, the most prevalent factor for smokers was hypertriglyceridemia, followed by high blood pressure. The order of the triads did not differ substantially by smoking status, and the top five triads remained relatively the same. Discussion. We identified different trajectories by which individuals enter the metabolic syndrome and determined that the specific trajectory followed has a significant impact on subsequent risk of developing cardiovascular disease and on mortality. Participants who enter the metabolic syndrome having a combination of central obesity, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia had a 2.36-fold increase in incident cardiovascular disease events and a threefold increased risk of mortality in the general population. Those with prevalent metabolic syndrome having this combination of factors represented a 1.64 and 1.58-fold higher risk of future cardiovascular events and mortality, respectively. Among our participants, metabolic syndrome was a highly prevalent condition that increased dramatically in a relatively short period of time. From 23.5% at baseline, the prevalence of metabolic syndrome almost doubled after 10 years of follow-up, reaching 40.6%. Except for low levels of HDL, which remained stable over the period examined, all other components experienced a substantial increase during the observation period. High levels of fasting glucose more than doubled in prevalence, as well as large waist circumference. The latter, in the case of women, almost tripled. Also at baseline, women had less prevalence of all components of metabolic syndrome than men. After 10 years of follow-up, they surpassed men on levels of central obesity and almost caught up with all other factors. This could be due in part to the age of our population and the effect that menopause may have exerted among our participants during the observation. A delayed increase in high blood pressure levels among women also explains the higher increase in prevalence of metabolic syndrome compared with among men. High blood pressure among women tended to lead all other factors, whereas for men, the factor that preceded all others was low levels of HDL, reflecting perhaps different hepatic lipase activity and lifestyles between sexes, an earlier decrease in physical activity levels during middle age among men, or perhaps an inherent effect of using different cutoff points for men and women when defining low levels of HDL. Central obesity is another factor that seems to affect women more significantly than men. Levels of large waist circumference in women not only tripled during follow-up, but were also a factor most often present when metabolic syndrome occurred. Whereas for men, large waist circumference was the factor that was least present and high blood pressure had the leading role. This may reflect a faster accumulation of visceral fat among middle-aged women that seems to start at a later age compared with men. When we compare the prevalence and presentation sequence of the metabolic syndrome factors by smoking status, high blood pressure remained as the most prevalent factor, only surpassed among smokers by hypertriglyceridemia. Irrespective of sex and smoking status, the combination of large waist circumference, high blood pressure, and hyperglycemia was the most prevalent triad, followed by the combination of low HDL, high blood pressure, and hypertriglyceridemia. High blood pressure was not only the most frequent factor in the analysis of frequencies, irrespective of sex, but played a central role in the trajectories followed to enter the metabolic syndrome. Along with high blood pressure, two distinctive phenotypes play a significant role. First, a combination of central obesity and dysregulation of glucose metabolism, and second, a phenotype characterized by dyslipidemia. These two idiosyncratic phenotypes, in combination with high blood pressure, were also the only ones to provide a significantly higher risk of future cardiovascular disease and mortality in any of the potential triads. No other combination of factors other than these two had a significant effect compared with the others. In the case of the combination of high blood pressure, large waist circumference, and hyperglycemia, this effect was also evident for populations with metabolic syndrome, highlighting not only its importance for the prevention of metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease, and mortality, but also the meaningful role that it might play in adequate clinical management of those with established metabolic syndrome. These results also occur irrespective of the presence or absence of diabetes. When we repeated the analysis after excluding those with diabetes, we found similar results. The levels of prevalence of the metabolic syndrome and its components identified in our study fall well within the ranges of those found and reported in previous publications. Nevertheless, our study is the first not only to evaluate the levels of prevalence, but also to elucidate the progression of the syndrome and its factors, to identify and characterize the different trajectories that populations follow to enter the metabolic syndrome, and to evaluate the effect that those trajectories exert on future cardiovascular disease events and mortality. Although 23% of our population were excluded because they did not attend all examinations or had missing data on the components of the metabolic syndrome, this study represents a well-characterized historic cohort with a long follow-up period that allow us not only to elucidate the progression and trajectories that populations follow while entering metabolic syndrome, but also the effect that these trajectories have on future prognosis. Participants included in the Framingham-Osprin study were mainly white. Therefore, our results may not apply to other ethnic groups, and any generalization should be considered with care. A relevant limitation of our study is that we could not evaluate the effect of the different metabolic syndrome components completely independent of other risk factors of cardiovascular disease and mortality, such as alcohol consumption and socioeconomic status, because data for these factors were incomplete, unreliable, or unavailable for a large proportion or for all of our population. It is possible that part of the observed difference in future cardiovascular disease and mortality between the different triads could be explained by the difference in alcohol intake and socioeconomic status. However, the extent of the alcohol intake and socioeconomic effect cannot be calculated with the available data. Conclusions. Metabolic syndrome is a highly prevalent condition that is increasing dramatically and affects a large proportion of the middle-aged population. Not all individuals with metabolic syndrome enter the syndrome with an identical combination of factors. Certain trajectories and combination of components confer higher risk of incident cardiovascular disease and mortality. Among these, two confer a significantly higher risk compared with the others. Both of these have high blood pressure as a central factor. One additionally has central obesity and hyperglycemia, and the other is characterized by dyslipidemia. Intense efforts are required to identify populations with these particular combinations and to provide them with adequate treatment at early stages of disease. This has been an audio paper recorded by the author Oscar Franco from the University of Warwick, and the article was Trajectories of Entering the Metabolic Syndrome, published in the journal Circulation in November 2009.